my goal always is to go in with an open mind about something that I think brings vibrancy to the community, and until we figure out at some point it's unfeasible.
This is Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference talking about the prospects of bringing back the Pelican Drop, and I appreciated his answer on that, which was, I'm willing, but let's talk about the parameters. What are the facts? How much does it cost? Is the Pelican in good shape? I mean, you know, he's not willing to say just yes, which is good because, you know, the one who says just yes is the one you kind of wonder, do they think it through enough? And he always wants to think it through a little bit, which I appreciate that. I also want the Pelican Drop back, but I want it to make sense to do it. Joining us now by phone, the aforementioned Mayor D.C. Reeves. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. So Pelican Drop at this point is, we're looking into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the prudent way to handle this. I mean, at the end of the day, there is a significant expense. There's a lot of police and a lot of fire that goes into this. You know, we just did a rough estimate of what just the city's cost is generally on a parade, as an example. It's about $40,000. And I think the fee is about $1,200. So, you know, that's okay. There's a lot of other values to that, those parades, right?
Right.
All the tradition and bringing people into the community. Those are all things that are, that bring great value to us, but just like the Pelican Drop does. But that doesn't mean we should also be blind to its expense, blind to the stresses that it may put on police and fire and things like that. So I really do go into it with an open mind. And also, as someone, just like you said, as someone who generally philosophically wants it. Yeah, so you know, we're approaching it in that way, but we're not going to just, you know, jump right off the cliff here and say we're going to definitely do it and us get ourselves or our staff and our first responders in a bind.
All right, here's the way you solve this problem. You put it up for a public vote and you offer people a three-part choice: A, Pelican Drop; B, 45 days of lit up 3 mile bridge, colors of our choosing; or C, fix the mold in the outer closet areas of City Hall.
Well, I know what's going to finish last.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
You're
the adult big decision will not finish first.
It's not nearly as exciting.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think some people probably hear you and or heard, the Public Works Director, Mamie Tootle, you know, and are like, oh, God dang it, why'd you have to bring this up? Well, because this is what a responsible person does. You acquired an enterprise, and now you're trying to figure out what you acquired, and you found out there's $500,000 worth of water and air intrusion that needs fixing, plus remediation of the damage that's been done inside. And, oh, by the way, that's just one building. What about PPD? What about all the other buildings the city owns? Right? I mean, this is responsible management, but it's going to be costly.
Well, look, my response to a person that would say that is to say, do you think a new mayor is as excited as you are about having to find six figures and seven figures of maintaining? I mean, that's not fun for a mayor.
No.
That's not fun for a council. That's not fun. You know, I mean, it's kind of like buying tires. You know, no one gets excited about it, right? I mean,
right.
This is, you know, it's expensive, but it's a necessity, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to look at what we have. Again, we believe the first structural assessment that's taken place in 37 years, which is really more surprising just in the fact of the storms that have taken place.
Yeah.
More than it is that a general assessment hasn't been done. And you know, we've got to figure out how to take care of the things that we have. And this was really spurred by the ARPA money that was set aside in the previous administration to do those much needed aesthetic, you know, I keep calling it the modernization. If we don't update the first or second floor of City Hall, it'll be back in vogue again. If we wait long enough in a couple more years,
City Hall retro, just wait it out. It'll be fine.
Right, exactly. I said, if we keep hanging on to these 40-year-old chairs, they're going to be worth a lot more in a few more years. You know?
They're going to be collector's items, right? They're going to be first editions, and you can sell them on eBay.
Hello, eBay.
Exactly, exactly. You can't find them anywhere. But but that's why they set that money aside. And well, my stop was, before we go spend upwards of $1 million to fix these things, what are we spending $1 million on? I mean, if it was your house and you thought there was a foundational issue, you probably wouldn't spend $1 million on paint and drywall
and
things like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Be less important. So, so that's how we got here. And, you know, fortunately we were able to, or unfortunately able to find some of those things. And that delta of about 290,000 doesn't count the mold remediation in those closets on the outside. So that's why I said, really, we're looking at a delta of about $500,000. But we'll figure out how to do it. I hope that we won't be in an either or situation, that we either fix the structural issues or update the first and second floor where the city meets with its government, and that is important. So I think we'll get a path to victory here that we'll bring back to council to figure out how to get it funded.
I asked the question because I just want to make sure. I assume the answer is yes. Are you planning to or going to do inspections of the other major facilities? I mean, we found out with the Young Gym, okay, and that had to be taken care of. PPD is one good example, but the city doesn't own just three buildings. The city, I'm sure, owns a lot of buildings. This seems like the kind of question that ought to be asked of most of them, just again to find out where we are.
And again, Station 4, the fire department, where Station 4 has been out of their building. Good news and good progress there, by the way. Probably be back in, actually a little bit sooner than we thought. So,
This goes back to the issues at Station 3 that required a new station to be built. So, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we do want to get out of the habit of letting these problems come find us. And in the case of City Hall, again, these problems didn't come find us. It was really more of a prioritization before you write a big check to go do aesthetic things. So that's good. But yeah, what you'll see in the budget is we're adding some staff to Public Works with eyes on our community, someone waking up every day that's in charge of, more building maintenance and more building oversight. Our team does a great job in Public Works right now. But frankly, I was kind of surprised by how few people, ultimately one, maybe two in the facilities area they're able to get to all of these facilities that we have, and they do an admirable job. Our facilities team is awesome, but it just strikes me as somewhere that needs a little extra help to make sure that we're maintaining the stuff we have.
And most definitely, I think it's a very adult, responsible decision. So, and I know we're getting texts supporting you on this as well. I noticed one of the agenda items for tomorrow night. It's a little bit smaller of a thing, but it's $107,000 for the Bayview Park drainage. Now, this is between the tennis courts and the westernmost or southernmost, southwesternmost of the boat parking area. I did notice that the zone did not include the dog park, and I know the dog park folks will tell you that, drainage, runoff, erosion are ongoing all the time problems for the dog park. Is there a plan to fix, work with the dog park? I know I'm glad to see the drainage stuff done a little bit to the east of that, but what's the plan for Bayview?
Well, yeah. So as you said, the project that's been in place and has been for a while to get done is that erosion happening right there, like you said, tennis courts, playgrounds through that area. Fortunately, that project actually came in under projected budget. So that's it's good news. And exactly. So we're going to get going on that. I don't know of anything happening at the dog park, but okay. I do agree. I've taken my dog to that dog park certainly, when we talk about things to maintain, that certainly falls squarely in that category. It's not probably up to the standard that I would expect, or if I were, the better example I use is if I didn't know anything about Pensacola and I were to go there, would I be impressed, with that interaction? Probably not.
Yeah.
As a dog owner, I certainly can sympathize and we've got a lot of other things going. Doesn't mean it's not important, but certainly something that we'd be happy to look at.
The new one at Hitzman Optimus Park that nobody uses is great. but that's a weird location. Right. And until people go there, people won't go there. Hey, there's a good news note. I want to give a chance to. It's a little bit smaller item on the agenda, but it caught my attention. The old defunct gas station on Cervantes, just west of Palafox, 23 West on the south side of the street, is going to become, I'll let you say it.
For ice cream?
Yeah. It's an ice cream shop. They're making a frozen tasty treat or something right there, right?
I believe so. I don't know the specifics of what will come out of the machine, but the good news is that building has been, I used to live about a couple blocks from there. Excuse me. Used to live a couple blocks from there. For as long as I can remember, that building, and it's a tough spot. It's on a very, very busy state road. It's a very inclined parking lot there. And so you know, for every idea, and I'm talking about really in my previous life, when, you know, just as a business owner, people would kind of inquire about it. And between the parking lot and how many spaces you need, could it be a restaurant, you know, environmental, all that, which I know has been looked at, you know, so I'm thrilled to get something that has been completely unactivated and really, you know, becoming an eyesore to be able to bring something to the community and to that neighborhood.
No, I think it's great.
Definitely,
it's a great thing. Now, you also, you spoke the forbidden word the other day, and that's, there's an item on the agenda, and you guys are going to start working on the land development code. LDC is a dirty word, because as soon as you start messing with the LDC, everybody goes crazy. I've watched this happen two times now in Santa Rosa County. But you're not even doing that. This is just the preliminary overview to make sure that the LDC doesn't have any internal contradictions and that it's compliant with current existing, like, state law before we can even start to have the conversation about serious changes, right?
Exactly. And the reality in Pensacola is we have not had any version of comprehensive look at the LDC in about 16 years. And I always say in Pensacola years, that's about 50. I mean, yeah. We've had one restaurant down Palafox, one or two, maybe 16 years ago. So and I'll use a couple of anecdotes. I mean, we have districts within downtown where on one side of the street, you can only build to six stories. It's not defined by feet. And on the other side of the street, you can build to 150 feet. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's nothing environmental. That's just an example of what we really need to do is lay all the LDC out on the table and say, what do we have in here that contradicts itself? What do we have in here that's vague? Because, you know, people can deal with disappointment. If there were to be a change in the LDC that people didn't like, generally human beings can deal with disappointment if they know that it's been well researched and they can explain the rules.
Yep.
You know, at the end of and so getting rid of as much ambiguity as we can is really the value here. So so yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, $7,500,000 investment, and it takes time, and there won't be as much, you know, people will say, well we get feedback. We're not there yet. This truly is an assessment in every sense of the word. They're going to come in, see, you know, a professional organization who does this for a living is going to come in unbiasedly and say, hey, why do you have this? Or why hasn't this been changed in 40 years? Or why, you know, they're going to give us that kind of roadmap, and then we can make decisions from there.
No, I think see, to me, this is of the same exact mindset as evaluating the buildings for what's wrong with them is, you know, hey, the land development code really matters. And let's see what's, you know, we know it's crazy. So let's find out this, a little bit of the shape of the crazy, and then we can move from there based on what we discover. So no, I think these are all smart, adult, good management things that you're pursuing. We always like to end with a little bit of the lightning round. So quick questions for Mayor D.C. Reeves. Do you have a morning pick-me-up drink, coffee, tea, energy, anything in that vicinity?
Yeah, it's lots. But no, it's one coffee in the morning, and then Celsius is what I go to.
Okay.
They don't endorse me or anything.
All right. Do you drink the energy drinks? Oh, Celsius is an energy drink?
Yeah.
Oh, see,
yeah.
My ignorance. Okay, fair enough.
It goes right through you.
Thank you.
In every way.
Celsius, yeah.
I will tell you, I've never had an energy drink, and so, you know, that's why I live so long.
Wow.
When I know, it's a kind of a bragging point now. When it comes to sunscreen, are you a spray, are you a lather, or are you an au naturel? Or do you, like, you know, put beer on, as the TikTok trend says?
Well, first of all, I need to say, you can't make fun of me for not watching Star Wars if you've never had an energy drink. But
But I think for you to compare energy drinks in scope of cultural significance to Star Wars is another faux pas. But move on. Go on.
Yes. Spray, because I have an 8-year-old. So, spray the kid down, spray myself down. So I used to be lather, but now I'm all spray.
Fair enough. Gotcha. And the last one is, what's the worst purchase you've ever made? Don't say City Hall.
Oh, man. probably the 1991 Toyota Tercel hatchback that was my first car. It sputtered when we, like, drove it away from the person's house. No girls in high school liked it. No one wanted to ride with me, you know. So, and on top of that, a depreciating asset, as you know, Andrew. It depreciated from $1,000 to $800 right when I drove it away from the
Look, first
house.
Cars are like first loves. You're never proud of it, but you still miss them a little bit. D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again next week. Look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.